Hello, Internet. I would like to something wash your dog.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Episode 6, Cock and Rollerballs, with Ben and Morgan.
Welcome to another Discourse show.
Another Discourse weekly show.
Another one.
Another one. You sound like it's a punishment. Well, another one.
Here's I another. Love being doing the weekly Discourse show.
I love that as well.
It's brilliant.
I do not love making the show notes. This week there's going to be very limited show notes. I guarantee it. We're also going to try and keep our length down a bit.
Yeah, last week I have a correction to make, Morgan, because last week you said...
Should we save that until the corrections segment?
No, I think we need to do it up front because I think we need to get out of the way. Because you said... we were talking about the show length, and you said we've got a ceiling of 90 minutes, which is patently untrue and misleading.
Yeah.
So I'd like to apologise to the readers for any trauma they may have felt during last week's 100-minute opus. So we're going to try something new the next couple of weeks.
We'll I don't really apologise too much for it.
We're going to try something new with our new mics and keep the show short.
Yes, new microphones. This is very exciting.
Morgan took the delivery.
Delivery.
No, how did you get the mics into the country? Because they're lovely mics.
I ordered them from B&H Photo. They were shipped by UPS, 3-day delivery service.
That was quick. You must have paid a lot for that.
I paid a fucking ton for that. I paid $150 for that.
But it's one of those things where you think, oh, it's only another $30 on top of...
It's only another $30.
3 weeks delivery or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
So you would have 3 days, that's pretty awesome. So they landed.
That is pretty awesome. So they landed in New Zealand, I think, last Thursday night. They were scanned in Auckland 6:30 Friday morning, and then nothing. Then I heard nothing. Nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. Finally, I added UPS on Twitter, and at Chris at UPS on Twitter said, email me with your tracking code, and I
that's
did.
That's pretty cool.
And then, strangely enough, on Sunday night, it updated with a new scan code from Friday, allegedly. Bullshit.
That's interesting.
So bullshit. And that never changed again. And so finally I called them and they said eventually, you need to get a importer's code from customs.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
This is as an individual purchaser.
You're not an importer.
I'm not an importer. I'm not a company. It's going to a single person, paid for by a single person. So I expected to pay some GST or something on it, but apparently you need to register as an importer if you ever import anything over $1,000.
I actually had that happen to me, but the funny thing was it wasn't even that. It was a MacBook Pro sent to me to demo, and it was horrendous because they said I needed an importer code and a...
And then you would have had to send it back.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, very, very bizarre. And there was no GST to pay on anything because it was sample product and this sort of stuff. Weird.
I had a lot of GST to pay.
On a lot of microphones and cool gear. That's cool. They sound good, and I like the fact that we can catch the bird song from outside on them, which you may catch if you listen quietly.
I think it has. I think the sun has just gone down enough that there's no more bird song.
Oh,
but that's all right. It doesn't matter. So yeah, new week, a new show.
We got a correspondent this week.
We have a correspondent, but we have no guest. We have senior discourse cultural commentator in Wellington and senior Wellington correspondent Robin Gallagher. She's going to be on. Bronwyn Callinger.
Bronwyn Callinger, yeah, are you there?
I think it might be standing.
Hi.
Senior culture commentator and Wellington correspondent Robin Gallagher.
Kia ora.
Have you had a good week?
Kia ora koutou, tēnā koe.
Kia pihi koe. Oh, kia te pai.
Kia te nge nge.
Someone was asking me today how to say goodbye in Maori, and I gave her like
Hora,
Enohora, Kakite.
Kakite.
I couldn't actually say what any of them meant. So,
Radio New Zealand's website is where you go for that sort of stuff. They tell you all about how to tell the weather and the time and hello to everyone and goodbye to everyone.
They have birdsong too, but unlike ours, theirs is recorded.
Exactly.
We've got a genuine organic birdsong.
Ours is from the trees outside the window.
Yeah.
Thank you, beautiful summery Auckland.
So Wellington, any Wellington news from you this week, Robin?
You have a new exhibition at Te Papa.
There's a new exhibition there.
It's probably too new for you.
I haven't been to it though.
Right.
I hear it's just some like old paintings or something. So
what is
know,
it called? The classics.
The classics, whatever that means.
Classic hits.
these people, oh, I'm really old and I did some painting. Here, look at me. It's probably some old people's home, like art therapy class. I don't know. I'll go along and see it and let you know later.
Let me tell you what it's really called. It's called European Masters. because it is actual European masters. It's not called old paintings, and it's not just called classics. Although, let's be honest, with Monet, Renoir, and Degas,
ooh,
Picasso, and Cezanne, and Van Gogh, and even Munch.
And who?
Munch.
Munch.
Yeah, I started to say Munch, but I decided not to halfway through the.
I don't know who.
The Scream. Who, I think who, that's Munch. Isn't
oh
it?
Right, okay.
Or is it called The Shriek?
The Scream.
The Scream. So this is, I think there's actually quite a lot of The Scream, isn't there? Didn't he make actually quite a several of them? This one, I wonder if this is one that was stolen and then recently recovered.
The actual Scream wouldn't be there, surely, would it?
One of them. I think there's a couple. No, literally, I think there's actually a couple that look very similar.
Right, okay. Yeah. So
it's like the guy who did the toilets. Who was that? Signed urinal.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Yeah, that guy. He did a whole lot because basically it's a urinal with his signature on it. So pretty much all the major modern art museums in the world have one.
Yep.
I think Te Papa might even have one.
I know his name.
I think that shit is lame, personally. I think that's the worst of the worst.
Isn't that the point? Wasn't that his point behind it, was to say this shit is lame?
And Marcel Duchamp.
Duchamp, that's right.
That's
the
cock. Yeah. Although, to be honest, if you look over here, I've got actually four.
A Misery.
I've got four Miseries right there. And let's be honest about that etching, the Wolfie, that I really dig. This is not very useful on a podcast, is it?
Those are much better than a signed urinal.
They are much better than a signed urinal and cost less too.
Yeah,
but it didn't cost as little as maybe they should, because I don't think that his skills have increased very much over the last 10 years. Not significantly, a little bit, but not significantly. But the price of her work is, well, actually, it's not too bad, to be honest. But then I think that she's quite cynical about the way she prepares it. I think she actually does really quite production line work.
Yeah,
and just bangs out 50 paintings on the week of an exhibition. So, each one doesn't necessarily have a great deal of love, care, attention, and so on.
Oh, you would too, wouldn't
Keeps
you?
The price down.
Yeah. So what else? Other Wellington news? You've had a politician resign, Robin Rochester.
No. We haven't moved on from the European Masters yet.
No?
You haven't been there yet, Robin, but I would like to, for the first time, send one of our commentators out on assignment.
Assignment, yes.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
And we'll speak to you about it on December the 2nd.
There'll be a test.
Okay.
Well, of course, we'll actually speak to you about it on 30th of November, but the listeners will hear about it on December the 2nd, if you are down with that.
I will put this in my diary.
Your correspondence diary?
Yep, yeah. And I'm going to take my notebook.
Let me guess, I'm going to call it a moleskin. Does it upset you to hear me call it moleskin?
Well, I have a moleskin, but that's not the notebook that I would take. I actually have one of those spiral flip-top journalist notebooks, I would take that.
On the top. You have to have the spiral on the top, and you put your pen in it.
I'd probably use a pencil, because that's more journalistic.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's funny, because I've got a Spirax notebook that cost all of probably $2, and it's, it's full of notes. And over here... Where you can't see them, I've got a couple of moleskin kahias and a large moleskin, larger moleskin field notes. None of them have a single fucking, not even a scratch in them from a pen.
You don't want to sully them.
I don't want to, it's bullshit, it's such bullshit, it's so stupid, it's so ridiculous.
Just pick up a pen and write something.
I would love to.
Just draw a cock and balls in it,
My very favourite pen, this is going to sound so nerdy, my favourite pen, it's a Uniball Vision Elite. It is, my God, it's so nice.
I love pens, although mechanical pencils are my fetish. There's a website
you
do not want to visit, jetpens.com, because you will spend hours and hundreds of dollars just buying pens.
Crikey.
It's terrible.
I have a Pilot G6, and I have this because I went to a website, and it was this is the best pen to use with a moleskin.
Well... We just clipped a little bit when you laughed.
Yeah.
They might say that, but I suggest you get one of these Uniball Vision Elites and you will go, oh my God, the way this flows is incredible. But this one has actually just fucked up. It's still got 90% of the ink in it, but the ball's fallen out.
Well, then don't buy one then. It's obviously crap.
It's so good. No, it's so good. It's the nicest pen I've ever used.
Until the ball falls out.
You need to get your finger and just stroke the ball a little bit.
Yeah, just gently. Give it a little tickle. Yeah,
just a little tickle.
Cup it in my hand and then lick up and down the pen's
sharp. It can help if it's warm. So try just maybe if you rubbed it between your hands.
Yeah. Give it a good stroke. Oh, boy.
You doing it? Describe it to me. Be really specific.
Oh, nasty, nasty.
It's so nice having you on, Robin.
It's great, isn't it?
You're my favourite. You're my favourite.
And so other Wellington news, just to get you guys off the track.
Yeah.
You've had, obviously, in Wellington, you've had a politician resign, which, all things political, are entirely Wellington's
National
fault as
well. MP, Pansy Wong.
Mm.
Yep. Who I believe represented Auckland, kind of.
No,
you know,
she worked in Wellington. So
two Wongs don't make a white.
She works here.
But surely that joke's been done before.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. See, the thing that interests me most about this is not what they did and what they didn't do, but is the revoking of the travel perks. And inevitably, like last time they revoked perks, parliamentary services, who, of course, the politicians have nothing to do with, bumped their salaries by the entire amount of the perk, which would be... what, I think 10 grand each.
Because my obviously understanding is that travel perk came in the 70s instead of a pay increase. I think it was, well, we can't afford to pay you more, but hey, have some free plane travel.
Lifetime free travel or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they own the airline as well.
And it sounds like it's slowly been sort of pulled back over the years. Yeah, because it's sort of like, well, they're politicians and they have to travel, but then...
if I was in a job, like a sales job where I had to travel, I wouldn't expect to then just be able to travel and have my, you know,
but I guess
my family travel as well.
The question is, when they leave Parliament, did they still get that? Oh, I should have read that post on public address.
She does. She gets 75%. I think new MPs don't necessarily get that kind of perk.
Right. It depends on how long you've been, how many terms you've been in.
That's
for.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. Now I think Pansy Wong was Minister of Women's Affairs, am I right? And under her stewardship, they actually had a gender pay gap. Men earned more in the Minister of Women's Affairs under her. Probably under Labour as well, but I think that is incredibly ironic. So maybe the next person can do something about that. Actually, does National have much depth in their ranks? Do they have any other women? They've got a lot of old white men.
There's the Ann Tolley and Hekia Parata, who's currently standing for Mana, the by-election there.
Oh, Mana.
So who was the previous person in Mana?
Was that, Winnie Laban for Labour.
So why is that vacant?
She's retiring. She's going to work at Victoria University. Labour is Chris Farfoy.
Couldn't help it. Yeah, and it should have been McCartan. Why the hell did they choose Farfoy? What political experience has he got? He was like spin doctor for one of the Labourites, right? But look at McCartan.
I know. What people are saying, some people are speculating that Labour basically went, it's a shoo-in, we'll just put him in there and we can pull the string.
Blood him.
Manipulate. But, you know, he seems like a nice guy, but then, you know, he doesn't necessarily have much experience.
Who gives a shit about nice?
Yes.
I don't want nice. I want competent. I want vision. I want people that get the work done and aren't afraid to look bad as long as they're doing the right thing.
Well, then you don't want a career politician.
No, I think that's probably right. I think maybe we should have term limits for all politicians, maybe. Terms?
I'll tell you
how
what?
About that?
Yep.
Terms?
I was in Mana, and I was going for a walk along the Mana Esplanade, and coming in the opposite direction along the seafront, very scenic, very lovely, was this sort of middle-aged woman in a tracksuit doing like a weekend power walk. And as she got closer, it was Winnie Laban. So, you know, she was out there on the street. So if any of the other candidates can do that, if they can do their power walk around Mana, then
isn't she retiring?
She's fighting the inevitable, that woman. She's Māori, so she's going to be dead at 58. Doesn't matter what she does.
Unfortunately.
I believe she is a Pacific Islander.
Oh, and she was Mana? Seriously?
They have a large Maori and Pacific Island population, I believe.
And actually, I guess Farfoy is Pacific Island.
It's an interesting area because you've got some quite posh people who live on the coast, and then you have these quite low socioeconomic areas. So there've been a few boundary shifts with the electorate. So, you know, you can't really look to the past to say who's going to win.
Right.
Anything could happen.
It's so riveting. It's incredible. It's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, coming from Auckland, I've got to tell you, I really give a shit.
Hey, you ask me what's happening, and I tell you.
I heard, of all people, David Farah saying that in this term, there's been more vacant seats than I think in almost any time in history.
Do we trust anything that David Farah has to say? If you're going to talk about biased.
Yeah, but he does know I mean, he spends all his whole day looking at politics and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but do you know anyone else who's biased?
There was an interesting post on bias by
Robin. Robin, what are you doing? That noise is horrible. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
That was some kind of plastic creaking, bending noise.
Oh, I just got a hair clip because my hair was in my face.
Did we give you the show notes? We didn't give you the rundown. Did I give you the rundown?
Okay. I had the rundown.
Episode 6. So you were talking about bias.
Yes.
David Farah.
Yes, he is so biased. But, I mean, oh, God. At least he's better than his readers, though.
Biased and uninformed.
I've met David. And I actually really like him personally. But
he's a nice guy and he's done a lot of good things for internet in New Zealand.
I can't stand his website. It is so toxic.
Well, it really is. And it's again, it was Rick Shearer we were talking to. I kind of don't understand how they just don't get stomped on for all types of libel and defamation. I don't know what the laws are there, but surely you can't just say someone is shit at their job and is a cockhead. I mean, I suppose you can, but...
Yeah, you can, but you're running a risk, aren't you?
In
yeah.
my opinion...
Well, they don't say that. They know they say
categorical. Actually, no, that doesn't get you out of defamation.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Even I could say, Ben Gracewood is a...
Pinko, soft,
lover.
Left-wing, red...
Right.
I'm trying to think of something really offensive to say, but bird lover doesn't quite sound...
You're a PC pussy, like, Ben Gracewood.
Mother trucker.
The audience is a bird lover.
You know who else?
No,
is
I did actually read
lover?
About defamation one because I read about the detail and I actually felt quite concerned. Like when I take an item to task for being absolute shit.
Yeah.
I think apparently I do run a line of defamation, but I have to be sure that my opinion is kind of informed on fact.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a problem for me because I don't really like reading.
We were talking about bias, though, and I saw an interesting post. There was a bit of a shit fight on Gizmodo over the Galaxy Tab. They said it was crap, and a bunch of commenters said no.
Now, this is the 7-inch Android tablet?
Yeah, Samsung Galaxy Android tablet. They said it was crap, try again, try harder, come back later, and they got a bunch of comments saying, no, you guys are crap.
Well, they are crap.
You're crap.
Well, it's true.
And then also saying they're biased and personal attacks on the writers.
Yeah.
And so Joel Johnson came back with what I thought was an interesting post. It was long and detailed.
I thought he was a crybaby.
You thought he was a crybaby. He said, A, we're not journalists. B,
that's definitely true.
B, we have bias.
We're not journalists, so so you should expect us to be shit.
No.
We're not journalists.
Yeah, it's been biased.
Except whatever shit we shovel at you.
And give us page views while you're at it. But no, he makes the point that everyone's on a spectrum of bias.
Yeah, of course. I certainly am. I'm way all over the place, actually.
Yeah. The other point he made was that say whatever the hell you want, accuse us of bias, that's all totally fine, but don't lay off the personal attacks.
Welcome to the fucking internet, Joel.
What about, I mean, there's some communities that manage to keep it highbrow, though.
Metafilter.
Metafilter's very good. And I think the $5 charge has got a lot to
say. Metafilter foremost amongst them, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, Public Address does a good job of it, but they've, you know, it's a heavily weighted one. Well, I suppose Metafilter's heavily weighted as well. It's heavily.
Yes.
Left-wing. Well, not left-wing, but...
Yes. But yeah. Being free with a banhammer and blocking self-links and so on, and having different areas where different standards of behaviour, where it's more relaxed or less relaxed, different sections on Metafilter, all of that contributes to having a great site.
And the $5 charge as well helps as well.
Listener, if you're not already a Metafilter user. You should check it out. It's really good. It's brilliant. Check out Ask Metafilter and check out Metafilter Proper. Metafilter Proper is, they call it a community web blog. Really what it is just dozens of really nice web links each day. Ask Metafilter is a community question and answer site. Each person gets only one question a week, which I think contributes to having high quality questions. The answer is
high quality questions. I mean, majority of the questions are not
should
majority.
I eat this?
Should I eat this? I've got a lump on my leg. What should I do about it?
Well,
and always
of course,
the first reply is, I see a fucking doctor.
Well, and the reason that you see a lot of those, I've got a limp on my leg, what should I do about it, is because a lot of the audience is American and they possibly don't have healthcare or good healthcare.
That's a good point.
So in New Zealand, if you say, I've got a lump on my leg, why wouldn't you have gone to the A&E and paid nothing, or gone to your doctor and paid $25, $30 and have an actual expert look?
Yeah.
In the States, it's very different calculus.
Yeah, true. That's a.
But I've almost posted a sort of a should I eat this kind of post. I posted asking if anyone had advice. I thought I'd given myself food poisoning. I hadn't started throwing up yet though.
Right.
And so I said, what do you suggest I should do now to minimize the damage? What I ended up doing was eating a can of Pringles. And I think I drank a bottle of Bundaberg ginger beer. And I stopped having that kind of shaking, cold, clammy, sweaty knowledge that you've got impending projectile vomit in your future. And I changed from that to just feeling full and happy.
The Pringles and the ginger beer wouldn't have changed, wouldn't have helped.
I think they fixed everything. I think they killed whatever bacteria it was that I had growing a community in my ballet. It made everything better.
There's something quite magical about junk food.
Yes.
That chips especially.
Now, I mean, I'm sure that often when you eat food, there will be some amount of bacteria on it, which in a large enough concentration would make you sick. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? And in small numbers, it won't necessarily make you sick, right? Because although it will be continuously growing, it will get through before it grows to such a size of culture. You're dubious? So my thinking is that if you're on the borderline and you're starting to feel sick, like you've got the byproducts of the bacteria starting to get to your bloodstream, I'm saying I diluted it. I'm saying that I put kind of the volume of poison generating bacteria down below the magic threshold.
It's such trash. By the time you were sweating and shaking, it had done its work. It had done its worst work.
Yep. You know, nausea is one of the things that responds really well to placebos. So,
as long as you told yourself.
Those Pringles will cure all my ills.
Although I remember.
Did it have anything to do with the 4 ounces of pot I smoked, I wonder?
I don't know.
Can you imagine smoking 4 ounces of pot, Ben, given you've never smoked?
No, I couldn't.
No, me neither. It's far too much.
But I remember when my mum used to say that, you know, lemonade was good for you when you were sick. But I then realising when I was older that it's just because it tasted better when you spewed again.
So
From day one, I've told Ollie, my 6-year-old, that when he's sick, drink lemonade because it'll taste better on the way back. And he loves it. He loves it because he knows the second vomit is going to be fantastic. It's going to taste perfect.
Well, I always thought it was, after you've spewed, it's something that's high in sugar and isn't really kind of insanely flavoured or anything. And it'll just make you feel better by giving you some
hydration and energy. Yeah, well, I agree. I suppose so, but it's also the subsequent vomits are a lot more fun when you've had lemonade.
Oh, I totally want to try that.
Now, the reason I suspected that my kind of clammy feeling was food poisoning was that it was very familiar to me, because in June of 2006, when I was making my Earth sandwich video for Zay Frank, who I think we mentioned in the previous episode.
Yes.
I managed to give myself food poisoning by eating a bacon and egg sandwich with bacon that had been in a power cut in the fridge.
Oh.
And the power had been off for six, seven, 8 hours, something like that.
It should have been.
It smelled good. Yeah. Everything smelled great.
Cooked out nice and hot.
But it just must have been, absolutely. Yeah. Fried it up good. I covered it with so much tomato sauce, a lot of mustard, bits of melted cheese. Nice bits of Vogels, fresh, delicious fresh Vogels. And then within a couple of hours after shooting everything, thankfully, I started to feel a little bit twitchy. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm sick. And then I went into the bathroom and I started vomiting. And I didn't just vomit. I vomited until I passed out.
Oh, my God.
But apparently passing out doesn't necessarily stop you from keeping on vomiting.
Oh,
and so when I come to again, there's There was so much tomato sauce in what I'd eaten. So there were like bits of egg and bacon on my shirt, but there was just kind of red puke, looked like blood, just everywhere, like up to maybe waist height on the wall, and just completely covered me. I felt incredibly weak. I basically had just stripped off my vomit and tomato sauce,
crawled into the shower,
soaked clothes, dropped them on the ground with a slop, climbed into the shower, and then kind of collapsed onto the bed. And my poor girlfriend at the time came home to find just the most, the most disgusting thing. And me lying,
it's horrible,
kind of pale and pasty, collapsed on the bed. It was awful. And this felt exactly the same way as that felt, up to the point kind of right before I was like, I've got to go to the bathroom now.
It's that dread, isn't it? It's that absolute dread of I'm going to be spewing for the next 12 hours.
No, it wasn't like that. I threw up that, you know, whatever volume it was initially, and that was it. I was very, very weak, but I didn't throw up again. Hello, listeners.
I had a similar experience in Samoa. And yeah. I was there all by myself, and I woke up in the middle of the night covered in hives. Then I felt really sick, and I'm not going to give you any more details because I think we've had enough of that already.
I had 3 hours. I had 3 hours on a bathroom floor in Vegas, but that was self-induced.
This wasn't booze. This was, I think it was Spam.
Oh, right.
I had some spam.
No, it wasn't Spam. You had corned beef. You're in Samoa.
No, it was definitely Spam. There was corned beef and there was Spam.
Wow.
It was like a picnic lunch, and I remember thinking, yay, island food, awesome. And there was some, you know, breadfruit, and then there's this weird kind of solid pink meat.
Yeah.
And I'm going to blame it on that.
I went to a Christmas lunch a year or two ago at the Centre for Pacific Studies in the Farley at Auckland University, and they had corned beef in a bowl with mayonnaise mixed up with it, and I was like, seriously? But I put some on my plate with all the other various things. Actually, it must have been 3 years ago, but when I ate it, it was so good.
So just chopped up corned beef
chopped up mayonnaise. Well, you don't really need to chop up corned beef from a can.
Yeah,
are you thinking of like silver side kind of like boiled steamed beef, corned beef? Yeah, no, that's not what we're talking about. Corned beef in a can is basically pressed into Yeah.
One of my favourite things at the Pacifica Festival is the corned beef stand. And they have all these different types of prepared corned beef.
You can just get
that, like corned beef with cabbage on rice. It's so good.
If it doesn't have mayonnaise, it hasn't gone as far as it can.
Oh, God.
Of course, it's not something that I eat very much now, strangely.
Fed Joe.
Screw you. Now, let me tell you, next time you're visiting your boyfriend in Christchurch, go to a place called Restaurant Schwass, which is on Ferry Road.
Schwass.
S-C-H-W-A-S-S.
Yeah.
God, it's good. Now, I don't know that they have exactly what I had last time I was there. I think now they have 5 courses and 5 wines with matched wines. I think that when I was there, it was 7 or 8 courses and 7 or 8 matched wines.
Oh, very nice. And it's degustation style. You just pay.
Yeah.
Pay once and.
Oh my God. So good. Really just so good. Everything was brilliant. Every part was brilliant. So next time you visit your boyfriend.
I'm going to be there in early next year.
Yep.
January.
Check it out.
All right.
One of the waitresses, though, was a little bit, she was a bit strange. She brought out, I can't even remember what, like the very first thing she brought out was just like some bread rolls and some sauces, like a mushroom butter and a garlic butter and another one. And she just said, and that one's just butter. And I said, thank you. And she said, no worries.
In a high class silver service type.
Yep.
Type
scenario. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Really? Thankfully, there was another server there who wasn't her and who was just absolutely absolutely wonderful,
unobtrusive, helpful,
and quick and nice, and she knew exactly what she was serving. She could describe it, you know, lucidly. Yeah, but I think having matched wines,
a good waiter,
it makes a huge difference. So instead of, you know, what most people do is, you know, maybe you get a bottle or maybe you get a glass and, you know, you probably make that last through dinner and then you have dessert.
Get a red if you're having steak or a white if you're having chicken.
Right. Well, here they match it, you know, just perfectly. And so, I mean, we had like, I think, two things that, you know, you could probably consider dessert, and we had like a different port with each. Maybe it was a sherry with the first one and then a port with the other. Okay, so I'm going to suggest, speaking of sherry and port and all this wine, I'm going to suggest a new Discourse Weekly show, a new Discourse Weekly. A new segment. It's not a new segment. It's a drinking game. Right. Because I just watched you stifle a yawn. We've only been recording for, I mean, we're probably 20 minutes into the show, and you're yawning.
There must be something wrong with me. I think I need to get checked out, because I've been yawning through like meetings and everything. I probably just don't sleep. I don't know.
You're probably fat, Ben. You're eating too many sandwiches.
See, it's embarrassing, because I'm not yawning out of boredom. It's just purely, you know, just yawning.
Yeah.
What about, instead of a drinking game, every time Ben yawns, Morgan takes off one piece of clothing? Oh,
no.
So that's your incentive to stay awake.
Don't do this to me. No, see, I'm awake and I'm alert and I'm interested. It's I remember reading when I was a teenager that yawning was just about oxygen, and that it wasn't about...
It's carbon dioxide in the blood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a trigger.
So I'm probably going to die of a heart attack soon.
Oh, God. Well, if you do, I'm only going to do the compressions part, and I'm not going to do any of the breathing part. And you'll have a better chance of survival. Mm. But mainly what will increase your chances of survival is we're really close to the hospital.
That's true. You'll probably just probably stumble up whilst in the throes.
No. I'll call an ambulance.
I don't think you're wanting me to.
Let's try and be serious now, shall we? No, I don't want you in an ambulance. Have you noticed that lately there have been a lot of fatal accidents involving police car chases?
Yeah, has it been more than usual, or is it more publicised than usual?
No, definitely more than usual. There have been, there have been 15 deaths this year.
Shit, really?
From cars crashing as part of being in police pursuits. Now, it is not the police's fault, first thing, okay?
No.
People crash their cars while running away from the police because they're running away from the police.
Yeah, see, and I'm fine with the kid ripping his, you know, car around a tree when he's running away from the police, but it's when he runs over someone else that it
or when there are passengers in the car who aren't driving. Yeah. And so often it's just for really trivial stuff that they're being chased. What's really the point of chasing them?
Yeah.
I mean, there was that one with the four kids in the car. I think two of them died because someone was shining like a laser pointer at cars on the motorway. Incredibly stupid. Yes. I want the police to go there and grab that guy, maybe beat him with a phone book and put him in the cells. But none of those people need to die for that crime. And so if they take off in the car, and if it doesn't seem safe for the police, and maybe they've already got the license plate number, maybe you let them go. Anyway, the Independent Police Conduct Authority, number one, they're not really independent. And what kind of Orwellian bullshit is it to change it from Police Complaints Authority to Police Conduct Authority?
They're independent in that they're different.
Are people going to write to the Independent Police Complaints Authority and say, "Oh, this guy was really good. This lady cop smelled nice."
Yeah, this isn't really a complaint. The Police Brickbats and Bouquets Authority.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's not really independent, and it is a fucking complaints authority. They said change your policy.
Right. Now, in what way?
Well, that's an excellent question, Ben.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, one of the things they said was to consider that the reason that the car might be fleeing isn't because they're notorious guilty criminal murderers, but maybe they are just some kids with a laser pointer who are freaking out. So that, you know, they're not necessarily worth chasing.
Whereas that pee-fueled dick on the winner all across Auckland, then, yeah.
Yeah, so the IPCA recommends that the police change the policy. They don't necessarily say exactly what to change it to, but they say create a policy that is really easily understood for the frontline officers.
Mm.
Necessary. It's very important. Shut up, Ben. The police.
I've got an interesting thing to say.
Carry on, then.
I used to spend a lot of time listening to a police scanner, and I'm just a bit disappointed now. I'm disappointed now that they're going to be blocked out. But no, exactly what you say. The thing is that they went through this. It sounded very mechanical. So when a pursuit started, which was the best part of listening to a police scanner, they would run through and they'd say that the dispatcher would say, "What are the road conditions?" And the policeman would always say, "Oh, they're totally clear. Yeah. No cars anywhere." And this is like 5 o'clock on a Friday night in Auckland.
Yeah.
And what is the speed?
Oh, you know, 55Ks.
Yeah, right.
Clear road.
But I mean, no, I'm exaggerating, but they did, you know, you could tell where they'd be grunting from having to swerve around cars there.
Bit of traffic, but it's okay, I'll carry on.
And the disappointment in their voice when the dispatcher would say, the sergeant would come on or whatever and say, no, stop the pursuit. Yeah. But palpable disappointment.
And I remember listening to the scanner and listening to those things as well. Yeah. And what you'd hear in the background when they're talking is like the sound of the engine.
Screeching
and
tires.
And like the siren. Yeah. And you know that they are hauling ass. Yeah. And everyone's been in a car or on the side of the road when a car has hauled ass past, a police car. And that's only when they're going to an event, not when they're in a pursuit, right? When they're in a pursuit, it must be just
so much fun.
Terrifying. Just bloody terrifying.
The adrenaline that must pump through them, that sort of stuff.
That's right. Yeah. And that's why they need really clear policies about when to chase and when to stop. And there are currently policies, but apparently they're not working right, because if they were working right, we wouldn't have had 15 deaths.
And it is funny how all those deaths and those crashes seem to be, we just pulled out of the pursuit. We'd just, left them alone. Yeah. And then they
crashed.
5 seconds
before, 3 seconds before. my balls. Yeah. Okay, so the IPCA says change your policy and make it clear to your frontline officers. The police say what we're changing is our verbiage. Instead of calling it a pursuit or a chase, they're not going to say that anymore. Instead, they're going to refer to fleeing drivers rather than pursuit or chase.
There was the driver put its car in front of the police killed. Car and drove really fast in front of it.
This is truly, I already said this once, this is truly Orwellian. This is like, good news, everybody, we're increasing your chocolate ration from 4 lines to 3 lines. Isn't that great?
Well, yeah, you can imagine the scanner conversations now.
This is double plus ungood, Ben. Yeah. Let me just say that.
There is a fleeing driver, so I'm going to, I'm going to stop that fleeing driver. This isn't a chase, so you don't have to ask me about road conditions or anything.
No. Fucking assholes. They're so important, and they do a hard job, but this is bullshit. This is bullshit.
Changing words is interesting, because they did that with calling, instead of car accidents or car crashes, they changed it to smashes. You see that now in news stories. Oh. It was a motorway smash rather than a motorway accident.
And I'm in favour of that change.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was that, it's not an accident. It was totally preventable.
And this is something we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, talking about, just taking responsibility for your actions or assigning responsibility with basic language.
There are so few accidents on the road. So few, as in the metal in my wheel fatigued and my wheel fell off.
Yeah.
That's an accident.
Yeah.
Not I went too fast around a corner and lost control.
Or I haven't had my car serviced in 8 years. I haven't had a warrant in 6 years.
No.
Yeah, is that really an accident?
No. I am drunk and
I don't have a license. Yeah. Is it actually an accident in that case? Yep. You didn't intend to do it, but it was predictable. When you can see the motorway through the floorboards, it's predictable that something's going to go wrong with your car. That's not an accident, asshole.
No. Do you know what else is bullshit?
Tell me what's bullshit.
What?
Getting your balls fondled before you can fly on a plane is bullshit.
That is bullshit. But, that could be nice. Actually, I might like that.
If it was a service, and you could pick who would fondle your balls and that sort of stuff, that's great.
That would be nice. But maybe it might be nicer, kind of, depending on the nature of the flight, it might be nicer after or even during that.
Yeah. The thing is, not just
balls. It's lady bits too. I just read a woman's account of being basically sexually molested by inspector.
I read that.
Well, at least it's equal opportunity molestation.
I read that one too, and the thing there was, she was given no indication what was going to happen, which is absolutely fucking atrocious, frankly.
If it's true.
At the very least, they need to say, I'm going to fondle your balls.
Yeah. I'm going to touch your boobs.
Yeah, instead of just diving in there. The thing, I remember at the time of the pants bomber, the underpants bomber, it was just before it actually, that someone... Or around it, people making jokes, oh God, now they're going to, inspect our underpants.
Yeah.
And it does make you wonder.
What happens next?
Well, and it also makes you wonder about, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but look how quickly the scanners have come in. So someone had those things built in a warehouse or being built and said, how are we going to sell these x-ray scanners?
There's x-ray scanners that don't work.
X-ray scanners that don't work and might give people cancer. We have no idea.
And definitely take naked photos of your unconsenting body and then store them.
Well, no, the TSA says they don't store them.
Well, they lied.
Yeah.
And they've changed their tune about that as well.
Oh, that's crap. But, you know, and so, okay, well, we have to basically incite an underpants bomber in order to do this because there's no other way we can make these scanners valid.
So what happens next? So what happens when there's the colon bomber?
I was going to say exactly that, or the vagina bomber. I mean... seriously, it sounds stupid, but if there's a machine that's going to, you know, give you a proper internal scan, then you can guarantee there'll be a vagina bomber or a colon bomber.
I look forward to it.
So you're up for the manual scan? Because it will be
the death of international travel.
Yeah.
I took the ferry and the train recently, and it kind of sucked. But now I'm thinking maybe that's going to be my transportation mode of choice from now on.
Yeah. Or just don't go through the US because
it's not in New Zealand.
Yeah, we're fine in New Zealand, but you say that's going to be the death of international. Why isn't this the death of international travel? Surely ball fight.
I have a feeling that this is going to be wound back.
It has to be.
There has finally more people have started to respond to this. Mm. I just have a sneaking suspicion that this one is too far.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, there's other small, you know, minor freedoms people have given up. The other
given up? We haven't given fucking anything up. It's been taken by lying, pig-headed
lobbyists,
asshole politicians. Lobbyists lobby. That's their job. Politicians are meant to take everyone's interest into account, right? And then do what their party, what they see is right, according to their ideology. Yeah. They're not meant to just do what the lobbies say.
Well, in this case, that's what they're doing, is the writers saying, you know, ideologically, we want these companies who have made this great invention to be making money. But the cool thing is that they've also got a mobile version of it, the mobile porno scanner.
Oh, great.
Which, you know, it's a teenage boy's wet dream. You can drive around in a regular-looking delivery van and scan, they say, vehicles and objects as you drive by, you know, as in people.
Why would you do that?
To see naked people, probably.
But I'll just get some internet. There's naked people all over it. I have a feeling, in fact, that maybe you can confirm this, Robin. Has every woman in the world got pornographic pictures on the internet now?
Is every naked lady on the internet or has naked pictures?
Has every woman in the world got naked pictures on the internet? Because I very seldom see doubles, and I've looked at a lot.
To the best of my knowledge, there are no pictures of my mum on the internet, or me, actually, for that matter.
To the best of your knowledge.
Right.
To the best of my knowledge.
Cameras are pretty small these days.
You don't have a jilted lover that you're concerned about having naked photos of you?
To the best of my knowledge.
It's funny that you should say that. And
if you have any nudie pics of me, please email them to me. I'd be most interested to see them.
Have you ever dated a boy called Joshua Ashby, Robin? He's 20. He lives in Wellington.
Oh, shit, Josh. Oh, man. What's he been up to?
What he's been up to is logging into his ex-girlfriend's Facebook account and posting naked pictures he had to her wall and then changing her password. That's what he's been up to.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's confusing him with someone else. He's far too young. This is an interesting case.
This is, and particularly because, number one, he got sent to jail, little fucking scumbag asshole. Number two, there were journalists in the courtroom when the verdict was being read out by the judge, and he was trying to cover his face with a piece of paper, and the judge said, "Listen up, son."
Oh, wow, really?
Yep. Given what you did, posting explicit pictures of your ex without her permission, you're going to take that piece of paper down right now.
That's fantastic.
And hence, there are pictures of this asshole's shitty fucking haircut and really crappy moustache.
I'm going to click on the link now.
Was it Pinocchio haircut?
Is it a pudding bowl?
It's a fucking crappy haircut, isn't it? He looks like a dickhead.
Oh, God. What an idiot.
The important thing in this case is it wasn't just the nudie pics. He did actually send her some crazy-ass texts saying, "I'm going to kill you," and "dead bitch." And he went and I think he stole her clothes. He might have destroyed her clothes as well, probably cut them up, sort of cliched Hollywood breakup style.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just that he went to jail for putting a nudie pic of his ex-girlfriend on Facebook.
But do you think someone should go to jail for putting a nudie pic of their ex-girlfriend on Facebook without their permission?
I say yes.
I think so too. I think this prank's gone too far.
Think about what you'd want to have happen if your wife put all those many photos she's taken of your engorged member on the internet. What would you do? Not for pay.
What would I do?
Yeah, not as a cottage industry, just as a cruel way of getting you back. I mean, when you inevitably break up.
Inevitably. Yeah, no, I'd probably just use one of my profile pic on Twitter and.
Yep.
Yeah.
In an effort to attract the gents.
Yeah. I think, if I was younger, probably, but these days, everyone knows, almost middle-aged fat guy. No one's going to look at the photos.
I probably wouldn't look at the photos, to be honest, because I don't really log into Facebook because I can't stand that goddamn site.
Well, won't you be having Facebook email?
I'm not going to be having Facebook email. I barely even know what you're talking about.
It's so pointless.
Given how bad the current Facebook inbox is, and how bad all of that stuff is, I mean, how good is this new thing?
The entire reason, I think, for Facebook email is for people who use Facebook a shit ton.
Yeah.
And basically what will happen is their entire inbox moment in their email will be, you've got a new Facebook message.
Right.
And so I think it's a solution for them. And that's pretty much it.
I'm a little bit interested by it because who's the Facebook guy?
Zuckerberg.
That dude.
Have you seen The Social Network?
Yeah, should we talk about that now or later?
I think we should talk.
I really enjoyed it.
Finish your thought, and then we can talk about that.
Okay. Just that he said that the email is too complicated. There's too much friction with email. You have to go, dear blah blah, and then put your name in the end, and then think of a subject line. And it sounds like Facebook mail is going to be a lot simpler than that. So it sounds almost halfway between email and like an instant message.
And Twitter. Twitter, which Facebook has been ruthlessly cribbing elements from for a couple of years now. I would say that in some ways email was too complicated, just based on the volumes and the different kinds of email I get. Has everyone else got, what do they call it, Google Priority Inbox on their Gmail? Everyone uses Gmail, right?
Yeah.
I don't get enough email to warrant it.
I turned it on, and now basically I just have three inboxes to ignore.
Yeah, I filter the fuck out of my email as well because I get so many...
Lists and PR and
other things that they're all filtered down into folders. And now basically everything that ends up in my inbox is priority anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So now I've got two.
And then a lot of it's starred.
Yeah.
And so now your inbox is basically kind of multiply filtered and just becomes kind of more confusing.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very strange for me. So anything that goes into my inbox that isn't already priority is like, it shouldn't be there at all.
It's very strange. It
doesn't really work for me, and something does need to be done in priority inbox, wasn't it? But it was very promising. Now anyway, let's talk about The Social Network. This isn't in the show notes and I haven't really been thinking about it. I thought spoilers fucking good.
It was regardless of the content, it was a great movie. Did you know apparently the Winklevosses were played by one guy in that movie?
Yeah. What's his name? Yes. Armie Hammer.
Brilliant. Yeah. Compositing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, in Back to the Future 2, when young Biff and old Biff sat next to each other in the car, and that was like cutting edge technology. But it was obvious that it was a composite shot. But when you see them, I mean, I didn't realize until the closing credits.
Yeah. Yeah, some of it was face mapping and some of it was split shots and so on. Yeah.
Yeah, really well done.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, it was just really engrossing. Like, in terms of my measure of how many times I look at my watch during a film, didn't it?
Zero.
Yeah. Really engrossed by it.
Yeah,
I really liked the scene quite early on when he was making the face mesh site and he was getting all the photos from the different websites.
And it was really
authentic in a very geeky way. And I found it quite exhilarating.
Yeah, I heard another review that said exactly that. He got it right. But although
Hollywood OS.
Although the drunken programming competition scene was I've never ever seen.
You don't think that's legit?
A code battle.
That must be based on something. I've never seen anything like that either.
Yeah. Apparently everything in the film.
No, actually, I lie. I lie.
Except the girlfriend thing.
We had a conference. We had a code off, and that was
in Ropahu.
That was great fun.
Yeah, I remember you streamed it.
Right. I don't know if anyone watched it, but yeah.
I watched it and I commented it, and then it was funny because I think I commented on Twitter while I was watching it on Ustream, and then people in the background were like shouting out responses to me.
Yeah,
it was cool. It was really fun.
Yeah,
we have this incredible technology that 10 years ago would have been would have completely blown people's minds, and we use it for what? We use it. The most trivial things.
Streaming crap.
So the major criticism I have heard about it is that the treatment of women as portrayed in the film is not really how women were treated around Facebook.
No, and the fact that
the one thing Zuckerberg has had a girlfriend for a long time.
Yeah, since before he created Facebook.
Maybe. That might not be true.
Right.
That part might not be true. But he certainly had he's had the same girlfriend for a long time.
Hmm.
Yeah, the women in the film were definitely
marginalized.
Just either the hard-ass lawyers or just sort of, I'm drunk.
Let me blow you in the toilets.
do some coke off my stomach.
I mean, that does happen. Groupies. I'm very pleased to be able to say.
About whether a film is sexist or treats its female characters with respect. And one of the first rule is it has more than one female character. The second rule is that they talk to each other. I'm not sure if that actually happened in this film. I'm pretty sure that all the female characters in the film talked to males.
And again, didn't the hard-ass lawyer actually become a mother figure in the end anyway as well? That was kind of bizarre, I thought. It was incongruous to me.
That was a bit strange.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that I didn't really expect to see was one of the characters. Now, what was his name? The Napster guy.
Sean Fanning.
Sean Parker.
Sean Fanning.
Justin
Timberlake.
Sean Parker. And Sean Fanning was the other Napster guy who wasn't in the film.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had. Does he actually have that much involvement in the Napster guy in Facebook? And does he have that much shareholding? Because according to the movie, he had something like 7% of the company.
You know, I did a quick. There's actually a website that says things that are real and aren't real in the social network.
And that's real.
It's real that he. Has a holding and that he helped start it.
Yeah.
And it's not real that he did coke off a intern and got chucked out for that, but he got chucked out for some other similar kind of indiscretion. I don't think it was a Facebook intern, but it was generally a party mode stuff that they didn't think fit well with the burgeoning empire.
Things happen at parties.
Coke off
stuff. I mean, if you've got coke and you've got an intern, you know, 1 + 1, it's inevitable. What else is possibly going to happen? Either you're going to do it off her or she's going to do it off you.
In the movie world, yeah.
Movie world? Come on now. If you've got a bag of coke, there's automatically going to be people around.
Morgan.
No, that's true. Yeah, you didn't work at IHUG, son. You didn't work at IHUG. You need to work at... I should probably not say... Oh, no, I can say that much. I won't bleep that bit.
No, I've had I've led a sheltered existence.
Yes, you have.
I've started in finance and moved into IT.
You started in finance?
Yeah, I did.
So...
Well, in IT, finance, IT.
Calculated.
What does that mean?
I was an IT manager for a...
You started in IT and moved into IT, but you started in IT in a finance company.
Yeah, I was an IT manager for a financial advice company.
Right.
Yes.
We've done this story... And we've done this story. And have you got a story?
I've got another story bagging Android. Not bagging Android. It's an interesting story. The thing is that all the interesting stories are around in phones that you don't give a shit about are around Android.
Yeah.
At the Angry Birds Trojan.
Tell me what I don't give a shit about today. Angry Birds has a Trojan in it. Are you fucking kidding?
It doesn't. But a guy released an app to the Android market saying Angry Birds bonus levels.
Right, and
it was actually a Trojan. It was a white hat Trojan, so that when you installed it, it then immediately came up and said, congratulations, this app could have made phone calls, sent SMSs, and listed your contacts without your permission.
Mm.
So it was a proof of concept, and it was withdrawn from the App Store very quickly.
Right.
But it says to me, lots of stuff.
One thing,
in the
iPhone App Store, you can't have an app that is named that similarly to someone else's app.
Yes. Secondly, the approval process is obviously poor.
Yeah.
To let that go through.
Well, the first thing is all you really need to do, isn't it? What? Don't let people call. I mean, if there's an app called Angry Birds, yeah, you don't let some other producer create something called Angry Birds add-on levels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was obviously helping. But if it just said, you know, super cool bikini girls, it would have also got lots of downloads.
Well, you deserve.
Anyway.
I think you get what you deserve if you download an app called super cool bikini girls.
But you shouldn't. That app. You shouldn't. Still, shouldn't expect that app to go and access your stuff.
I would expect it. But on Android, I would expect it. Wow, when you laugh directly into the microphone, you make the microphone clip.
Okay, well, I won't. I'll try not to laugh.
I want you to laugh. Just laugh. Laugh slightly sideways.
Yeah.
Try and have a
laugh orthogonally.
Laugh on a tangent.
Oh, tee.
Now, see, I don't know where I'm going. Oh, the second part of it was that the worst part of this is that the documentation and explanation of this bug was on F-Secure's website with a link saying, and here's how you could download F-Secure's security product for Android, which scares the hell out of me. So basically what's going to happen now is, as with PC antivirus products, which are, I don't know, I suppose they're useful if you're an idiot. But there's a lot of, you know, again, conspiracy theory that a lot of modern viruses are created by antivirus firms in order to retain their existence.
And I believe that could possibly be true for some of them.
So
what interest do they have in diminishing the number of viruses out there? They have none. And if so they can say, we now protect you from 400,000 viruses, that's in their interest, isn't it?
Yep. And so now what you'll see is, I imagine, some proof of concepts and fake viruses turning up on Android in order to cement their position as...
But to be fair, there's a lot of real viruses out there.
Yeah. Nowadays, yeah, especially given that things are taken over for botnets, absolutely.
Yeah. All the drive-by stuff that, you know, tries to grab credit cards and all that stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of legit stuff. Are you yawning? Yeah. Everybody drink!
Awesome.
Did I laugh into the mic again?
You did, and you clipped it again. That's all right.
Yeah.
It's two drinks.
Drink!
So I was saying, earlier that I need someone to teach me to be less passionate about phones, because I just, you know...
Are you passionate, or are you actually just one-eyed? Because you really do seem to have a serious bug up your ass about Android. And now, I mean, whether you have legitimate criticisms or not, you seem to hate it with such a passion that it almost seems like you can't be being rational, or it is really, really bad, and it seems to be selling a lot.
It's selling a lot. My issue is, I believe, that the audience I talk to are hardcore geeks.
Yep.
The audience I'd like to review for are ordinary people.
Right.
So when I review stuff and say, this thing is a complete piece of trash, I believe it is for ordinary people. Because the ordinary people don't know that they can root it and put 2.2 on it. They don't know that it does multitasking and they can, you know, tether it via Wi-Fi to their PC. And they don't give two shits about that.
But you do also say that you think that Windows 7's great. And sitting in the car with you, you were having to put it into airport mode and then disable airport mode to make the wireless work.
The wireless or the 3G? Well, 3G, was it? Vodafone's been having a known issue with 3G all over Auckland at the moment.
that was 3 weeks ago.
That kind of helps. I've been having to do it with my iPhone as well.
Right, okay.
Same in Wellington.
Yeah,
it's been a nightmare.
Poor.
Okay, so maybe our conclusion can be, even if it's caused by the network, no phone is actually perfect. They all have workarounds. No. They all have limitations.
They do.
So let's
they
try
do.
And be fair.
No, they do. And I do try and be fair. And I say it over and over again that Windows Phone is incomplete. And
well, it's new. It's the newest, right? It's version 1.
Absolutely.
I mean, it might be Windows Phone 7, but it's version 1 of that of a new platform, really, isn't it?
But even so, for a everyday user who wants a nice experience, making phone calls, listening to music, using email...
Did we lose our satellite link up with Robin?
Yes, we did.
Maybe she nodded off. Are we talking about phones? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm here to talk about museums.
Hello.
Hello, very sorry about that, but we just had a micro outage with our Auckland connection at the purpose-built Auckland studios, our satellite link, and multiple redundant fibre links to different backbone providers all simultaneously went down.
What are the chances?
Outrageous.
What are the chances? What are the chances? Oh my God, we pay $400,000 a year for our telecommunications needs. And apparently we put it all through a single ADSL router.
If we only would have had an Android phone tethered to our PC.
If only. God, wouldn't that have been wonderful?
Perfect for geeks.
I can't even really remember what we were talking about. Some crap about phones.
Yeah, who cares?
Which I'm to be honest.
Who cares? From now on, I'm going to care a lot less about phones. So I don't care. Use whatever the fucking phone you want and I don't give a toss.
But you will still call it a piece of shit.
I'll call a spade is what I'll do.
This is not a spade. This is a very blunt secateur. There's no way for us to get back to any of these stories, is there?
No. I think we should do it.
From where we are.
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
Urban Dictionary, Discourse Weekly Show. Let me play the sting.
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
Yay, the sting. I love sting our stings. That's great. So good. Which one are we doing?
Are you a professional?
I'm such a pro. Watch how pro I am.
Pro styles. I want to see them.
Behold my cool styles. The word is sargasm.
Sargasm.
I've been quietly keeping a running tally of how well I've been doing in this. I figure I do well if no one guesses the word.
So you must be like 6'0", are you?
No, Ryan got Big Sandwich. But we've actually had about, this is actually I think our 11th word, and we've had multiple guesses for each of those. So we might have had over 20 guesses, and we've only got one hit. So I've thrown one in that someone will definitely be able to get to today. Okay. Sargasm. Robin, what do you think?
Sargasm. It's like a sarcastic orgasm. So it's like, oh, that's so hot. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, let me... Ben was very unimpressed last week, I think, when I had... was it Corbing Akima? And there were 36 upvotes and 59 downvotes. Yeah, and it's like that. I mean, these words which have, number one, they're net voted down.
Yes. And very few votes overall as well.
But this one, 6,083 votes up, 1,413 votes down.
That's impressive.
Okay, so people agree with this.
People like sargasm.
People like sargasm. What do you think, Ben?
I'm going to go with Robin, but be more specific. So it's someone... pretending that they're so turned on that they're actually having an orgasm, but they're not.
Well, I'm going to tell you what the definition is, and then we can see if you guys are close enough to get a point. Okay. Deriving far too much satisfaction from glibly berating another with sarcasm.
I don't think we got it right.
You were close this week, but I would say not quite on there, because this one is about...
It was a really good effort, Ben. You did really well.
See, so Robin is currently having a sargasm.
Yes. But I was thinking more like actually saying, when you think something's funny.
That's definitely not it.
No.
Yeah, that's definitely not it. Although you might be having a sargasm by enjoying doing that sarcastic oh, but... Oh, God, it's gone on. All right, that's the end of that segment. Because we've got to get out of this thing. We have apologies for last week.
You have one?
I would like to apologize for our senior philosophy correspondent, Ryan Sproul, who suggested that being born ginger was representative of profound suffering.
That's mean.
It is mean. I wouldn't say it was profound suffering. Suffering, certainly. But profound, there are worse things.
Yes, you're not a starving child in Africa.
And Ben would also like to apologise.
Yeah, I said, we were talking about supermarkets and central distribution and stuff, and I said that progressive supermarkets are forced to swallow the cock of central distribution. That's obviously a bit mean and direct as well. It's a bit horrible.
You've passed out, haven't you?
No, I wasn't.
You want to stay away from the dangerous corporate.
No, I was also going to say, I was referring to the fact, when I say cock, I wasn't talking about,
COQ?
Yeah, I was talking about COQ. I wasn't talking about, casting aspersions on our homosexual friends or anything like that. But I was referring to the hormone-fed Tegel chicken that they have to use.
But, now, you say hormone-fed.
Allegedly.
But it's not hormones. It's
It's all natural. It's all natural, antibiotic feed and, growth agents and this sort of stuff.
Macrobiotic.
Yeah, so they don't inject them with hormones, no, but they do feed them antibiotics. And
these are creatures that in the wild, assuming they're not eaten by a fox, tend to have lifespans of up to 10 or even 15 years.
And might weigh about a kilo.
And in a barn, they're raised to killing age in about 40 or 50 days.
Yeah, and they weigh about 5 kilos.
They are. Chicken industry is outrageous. Whether they feed them steroids or not, they're doing really gross things to those animals.
Yes.
And that's what Ben was referring to, I'm sure, when he said, swallow the cock.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of course, if I'd said the same thing... I would be talking about someone having balls on their chin.
Yeah.
So do you have any new projects, Robin?
I'm going to be talking at the Petrakucha evening in Wellington on Monday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Overseas
that?
International Terminal, come along.
Yeah, it's at the airport.
No, this is the it's the old boat terminal back, like, built in the 60s when people used to go places on boats.
Right. Oh, God damn it. That would be a perfect segue to that story that we abandoned about the ferry, the cruise liner
the abandoned that was stranded.
And they airdropped them, spam and something else.
Pop-Tarts.
Spam and Pop-Tarts. Oh, my God.
Imagine you've gone for a holiday to...
You think you're going on a romantic getaway, because
they had
honest,
no power at all, so they couldn't cook anything, so you had to have everything, you know, raw.
And all the toilets got blocked up and it smelled really bad.
How completely disgusting.
It's funny how the only stories you hear about cruises are when they go horribly wrong.
Oh, or sank, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Or those date rapey things that happen on some of them.
Yes.
Like date rape drugs. There was a horrible case.
Yeah.
Well, let's not talk about that.
Isn't kind of the purpose of going on cruises sort of to have swinging, lots of sex? Isn't that kind of the point?
Lots of old people go on
them. I'm not talking about necessarily non-consensual sex. Now, actually, here's one little question, Robin.
Mm.
Non-consensual or non-consensual?
Because
the word is consent, not consents. Sensual implies, you know, something lovely. So it's non-consensual sex is going to be non-sensual. But do you understand what I'm getting at?
Depends on your accent. Like if you say tissue or tissue.
Or sisu.
Or is it?
Does anyone say sisu?
Or is it talking about consensus?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Right, yeah. So
well,
not
you're at sea,
to
so you're not actually in the country where the census would be
I would say that, Ben.
Obviously.
Actually, Ben, you just made a really fantastically good point.
Oh, thank
now,
you.
Did you know, Ben?
No.
Did you know?
I often don't.
That we have listeners in Finland.
I didn't know that, actually. Tell you the truth.
Well, look at the map, asshole. It's right there on analytics. And so I would like to say kitos to our Finnish listeners. I'm sure that you will really be delighted with my wonderful pronunciation of your lovely language.
What does kitos mean in Finnish?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. To all of our other the vast hordes of our listeners out there in New Zealand and all across the other lands around the globe.
Yeah, the Zealands.
Thank you for listening as well. If you like what we're doing, please tell a friend, because it would be nice if we had, five listeners instead of three.
We're planning all sorts of fun stuff leading up to, you know, Christmas. And
Christmas is going to be big.
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas is going to be very exciting.
Yes.
Check the site for the show notes. There's probably not going to be very extensive show notes for this episode, but look back at the show notes for previous episodes. And
they've been brilliant.
You will learn a thing or three.
Yes.
There are related videos, unrelated videos, photo galleries.
You could just do show notes by themselves without even doing a show, and it'd still
basically
be brilliant.
That would make it Metafilter.
Turn
cross
it
with
into
boing
a blog.
Boing. Yeah, basically the blog of the podcast, and then just stop doing the podcast. If you have any feedback, then send an email to comments@discourse.co.nz.
Or hit the talkback page on the website.
Discourse.co.nz.
Yep. Or if you've got any ideas, someone we want to talk to, guests, whatever, let us know. You can also send an MP3 file.
Send an MP3 file. Please send an MP3 file. We, as we mentioned last week, we get an awful lot of MP3 files, but we have to abandon them for being too long. So don't send any really long ones in.
No.
Now, when I'm talking about MP3 files, we get that are too long. Probably I'm talking about podcasts I've downloaded from other sites. But let us pretend for a moment that we're talking about feedback that we've been sent.
Well,
there is a very large amount.
Inboxes overfloweth.
Give it to us.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Night night.
Bye.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
All right, we're using that one.